Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Feather Snap. Y'all, I have officially reached the age where when it rains, I stand on my porch with my coffee mug in hand and declare, we really needed this. And with that, Alice and I have also taken to not only watching the many birds of our backyard, but also work to learn their specific bird calls. I kid you not, this very morning, Alice called me out to our porch to let me know, and I quote, "Aw, the morning doves are back." Which is why I'm so excited to tell you about the Feather Snap Scout Bird Feeder, which comes equipped with a top-of-the-line camera so you can grab images of all of your bird feeder customers and identify them thanks to expert-trained AI. It's so easy to set up and easy to use with built-in solar panels that means less recharging and more bird watching. The feeder pairs with a Feather Snap app that lets you organize your favorite pictures, and you can learn fun facts about hundreds of species and even earn badges for IDing new birds. Seriously, it is so fun, so be sure to check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com. What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, I did go to a sunflower festival this weekend.
You did?
I did. And part of, like, it's interesting because, well, I can tell you that obviously I like sunflowers.
Yeah.
So it was good to see that some people out there are winning the good fight.
I was curious, you know, whether or not they had like huge, like chain link with razor wire
fences,
you know, like a armed guard, possibly on constant patrol.
They're just like out there in a big field.
They're just out there in a big field.
I mean, like, what are they even, how, what are they doing? I don't know how they're doing it.
You would think that this would just become,
it'd be just a big buffet.
Yeah. The Bunnyapolis 500.
Yeah. But no, these people are doing it. They're getting it done. There's tons of sunflowers. It was beautiful. It was great. But, when I told Luke that, like, he's like, what are we doing today? And I was like, we're going to a sunflower festival. You'd have thought I said that we were going to like a broken glass festival or something.
He was not thrilled about the prospect.
He's like, what's going to be there? Like, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? I think mostly when he doesn't know what to expect, he feels very like worried.
Yeah.
So I was saying, yeah, they'll have like vendors and food and we can go like buy some stuff and we'll see lots of sunflowers. And it's like, well, what kind of food? And I didn't, you know, this is now I find myself in a trap because I'm like, I don't want to promise there will be any kind of specific food that you might be excited about that might then not be there, because then in the future I'll be dealing with someone who was promised a certain kind of food that wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a tough challenge.
I know. You're like, I know there will be good, like, there is like, you it's like, do I try and explain, like, well, festivals have like categories of food, you know, there's probably going to be popcorn and probably there will be cotton candy and you know, what am I going to say?
Maybe some roasted street corn.
Maybe some roasted street corn. You'd think on a farm or something.
Yeah, certainly. Yes. Yeah, people get creative.
Yeah, so I did not know what to expect. I suspected heavily that there would be kettle corn there, as is the nature of like almost every outdoor festival.
It does seem like the surefire business model is just get one of those giant kettles, learn how to make proper kettle cooked corn.
Exactly.
And then and that's the great thing about it, is that like every single festival benefits from you being there.
It does.
So you don't need to like thematically fit with like the,
right,
you know,
you were just outdoor festival, like reliable. And so we got there and there was like 100 vendors or so. And sure, like we walked probably past like half of them. We got to the big horseshoe and we almost cut off like the back, like the very tip of the horseshoe. Cause it just sort of, we were looking for stuff for like, we'd given each of the kids like $10 to buy something out with.
Yeah.
Let's have a lesson in spending money, which I can talk about in a minute.
Oh, goodness me. Yeah.
But you sort of like scope the back and it's like, there's no kids things back there. But we got back there and we almost passed it. And I turned around and I'm like, Luke wants to look over here. And dude, we almost walked past the kettle corn.
No way.
I don't know what it was doing way in the back corner of the vendors.
That's just poor festival architecture.
It is terrible festival architecture. Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, whoa, hold on. What is your large look like? That one, please.
What's a sunflower loving lad supposed to do?
I know, man. And then this is my go-to. Like whenever I go to any outdoor festival, like I will get the kettle corn.
You will, without fail, every time.
It is like a promise I made to myself so I don't have to think about it in the future. I'm like, because sometimes I'll get there and I'll like hem and haw about like festival food and I'm like, do I really like it? Is it worth it? I don't know. But like I go into all of them knowing that like, it will be there, and when you see it, buy it. Like, that's your, you've made this agreement with all future versions of yourself to always get the kettle corn.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It's like, it's the type of thing that, like, I only give myself authorization for, like, at festivals themselves, because the local place that does our kettle corn, it's seemingly everywhere, also sells bags of it to our grocery store. And sometimes I'm like at the grocery store and I'm like, I could just buy a bag
It's
not the same. It's like, you know what? You need to be buying it fresh, hot out of that copper kettle. And almost like the bag is still kind of warm.
The bag is still, and you know, it's a huge bag.
It is
always like this giant tube of a bag.
That's the other thing too, is that like from like a value standpoint, it's like, as big as it is, I'm always still alarmed at the fact like Alice and I can almost go home and get like 3 nights of like watching TV
exactly.
on the couch out of it.
Yes.
It's like, how is there still more left?
It is the perfect purchase because one, it's fun to buy something at a festival.
Always. Yeah.
It's fun to buy something. But because the bag is so big, like you, it's like, and because there's often lines for everything at a festival.
Right.
Like it gives you something to be doing at all times. And that's eating your popcorn.
Eating your popcorn. It's like having a prop at a party.
Yes, it is. And because now you're holding a really big thing, it prevents you from buying things you don't want.
Oh.
You know, it's like now I'm already carrying this big bag of popcorn. So I got to really want whatever it is I'm about to buy,
right,
to justify also carrying that.
Your other hand.
Other hand, because right now I got this big bag of popcorn.
Right.
This is bringing me all kinds of joy. So whatever I'm carrying has to be as worth it and bring me more joy than the popcorn.
Okay.
This is my reasoning for kettle corn.
I like the psychology.
And it's so good.
It is
also
so good.
That.
So you're at the Sunflower Festival and you've purchased popcorn.
Yeah.
However, you also said that each child was given 10 tall hairs.
That's right.
To be used on anything that their hearts desired.
Yeah. And I figured this is a great spot to do this because the vendors are typically like low price things and stuff. And there's lots of like kids booths and things. And they don't get a lot of opportunities to like go spend money in person.
You know, I was thinking about this thing because growing up, we had like our Walmart Supercenter that had just been built in Rocky Mount, Virginia, where we grew up. And at that location, I remember it was like mom could go grocery shopping. And sometimes it was like, then can we go check out the Star Wars action figures aisle?
Can we go get them? Yeah.
Yeah. And I know that my reputation in the family was that and now I'm like, oh no, I'm going to get my comeuppance, I think. But I used to struggle. Like if I was given $5 to buy an action figure, I would stand there like on 1 foot, then the other, then the other, then the other.
It's a big decision.
I know. And then people would be like, what are you, an octopus? How many feet do you even have?
It must have been so frustrating for mom, not because you took a long time, but because like we each viewed our own collection of Star Wars toys as a unique collection.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like, yeah. You know, the fact that, you know, you had a Stormtrooper didn't mean that, like, it you wasn't worth me getting a Stormtrooper.
You still needed one.
Still yeah, needed
for,
one,
for
yeah.
your set. Yeah,
yeah, I mean, exactly.
Realistically, even if we were to join forces, we needed, like, 50 more.
I know, that's the thing. Stormtrooper is such a bad example because it's one that makes sense to have lots of.
Yeah.
But, like, if you had Greedo from the, you know, the cantina
right.
or something, one-off character who quickly dies after being on screen for 3 minutes,
right.
you know, we needed three of those.
Yeah, naturally.
One for
yeah.
each of us.
Yeah,
it
yeah,
wasn't
yeah.
enough to be like, no, Ben's already got Greedo. Why would you also want it, like, just, you know,
borrow his
yeah, just share. It'd be like, that's ridiculous. Ben's collection has nothing to do with my collection. It may as well not exist.
You know, the thing I remember about the Star Wars action figures, though, and I have no idea if this is something that was meant to be done or if we were just doing it, but the packaging had these, like,
holographic stickers,
yeah, and you could, like, peel them off, and then, like, we would, like, slap them all over the boxes, but they didn't stick very well, which yeah. is partly, like, what makes me wonder whether or not it was meant to happen.
Yeah, I remember doing this a lot, and I have those boxes at my house, and there are still some partially stuck holographic stickers on them.
No, there aren't.
Yes, there are.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's like 25 years later.
Yeah, so they didn't stick well, but the tiny piece of glue that survived did stick.
It did stick. Okay. Yeah, 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 yeah. Okay.
So there's that. Boy, what is this is there's like what's weird about my kids now opening those bins of Star Wars action figures, of which there are so many.
Yeah.
Is that one, they'll, like, you know, they'll just dump it out all on the floor at once, and like, there'd be like this mulch of, like, you know, blasters and crossbows and things at the bottom.
Yep.
And, like, you know, every single character had, like, a different, like, lightsaber length and hilt and color and slightly different shape, like blaster pistol or something.
Right.
And let me tell you, as a, you know, 10-year-old, as a fourth grader, I could have, without any problem at all, assigned every single weapon to every single character.
Naturally.
You know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
No issue whatsoever. And what is crazy to me is that as an adult, is first of all that I could do that ever, but as an adult, some of them I'll be like, well, this one, that guy goes with this one. Because it's like such a unique looking thing.
No,
like,
so
parts of it stick. Other parts of it, I'm like, how could I have ever remembered this? Because I remember remembering it for a long time.
Like, it just stayed up there.
Yeah, it just stayed up there, like, this is useful information.
Like, you know what? I'm going to need this later.
Might need it later. It's like, it reminds me of, like, the little jelly beans in Inside Out. They're you know what?
Yeah.
Just leave that big funny shaped one. The rest of these, don't eat them. Yeah.
Right. So it's like the scene where they're, like, sucking up like this, like, leave Lincoln and Washington and get rid of the rest.
What do you think?
Yeah, just keep Washington, Lincoln, and the fat one.
Forget them.
Like, talking about presidents.
Yes. Yeah.
That,
yeah.
That's you. It's like, okay, keep, I'm trying to think of somebody who had a unique shaped gun. Like, Han Solo has, like, a very, like, identifiable.
He has a very iconic one. Yeah.
He does. Like, his blaster. And then, like, the classic, like, Stormtrooper blaster, I feel like, is also pretty,
yeah,
pretty standard issue.
No problems there.
Right.
Yeah. But then what the other things that, like, sometimes they would be more like, not just an action figure, they'd be like an action figure, like, deluxe or something, and they'd have like a little, like, extra, like, glider that they stood on or jetpack that went with them or something. And I will find these items or their accoutrement around the house, and those things, I still know exactly what they are, but it is like, I will find them and it will be like this part of me that is like, you took the time as a 10-year-old or an 11-year-old to catalog what this plastic hose did in your brain. And you know exactly what it goes with. And here it is in your son's room by itself, devoid of any other Star Wars toys anywhere. And now all you want to do is just, like, get rid of it. Because it's like they are never going to remember where all the stuff came from because they didn't open the packaging. They're not as into Star Wars as I was. To them, it's just a bucket of toys. You know, it doesn't represent anything. It's like, it's so frustrating to me as an adult that I spent so much brain power memorizing how these toys went together when now they're just all over the house, and I'm like, or if I just find like a plastic blaster broken off of one of them,
uh-huh.
I'll just be like, man, I kept that thing intact for literally 25 years.
A quarter century,
and now you've just broken it. You know, come like Man,
I was going to play with that still.
Yeah, not that I was going to play with it still. It's just like, man, I feel like I took such better care of it, you know? Or like, do you remember? Okay, I'm sure you do. We, mom and dad, had this wooden ladder toy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It had this little dude, and you'd put him on the top, and it was just a cool, like, physics toy.
He kind of looked like a clothespin, but, like, he had a top and a bottom with just, like, both open. Yeah, and you'd set him on top of the ladder, and he would, like, flip forward, which would cause him to fall down to the next ladder rung, which would cause him to flip backwards, which would cause him to, you know.
Yes. Yeah,
and rinse and repeat the whole way down.
Classic toy.
Yeah.
Classic toy.
I've probably watched that little guy do that routine 9,000 times.
Well, I hope you remember it, Ben, because that ladder is dead.
It's dead?
It's gone.
The ladder is broken?
The ladder is gone. It is. Yes, it's gone. Yeah, it's out.
Man.
I know. I'm like, man, this was such an old toy. Like, I remember playing with this as a kid. I remember people coming over in high school and being like, what's that? I'd be like, watch this. I'm about to blow your mind. Yes. And they'd be like, oh, that's so cool. And I remember like showing it to my kids and them being like, well, this is cool. And now gone.
Gone just forever. Gone.
Yeah. And it's not like, you know, it's not because it's just like made of wood. It feels like something mom and dad or grandma and grandpa got at one of these like outdoor festivals. It was like, oh, this will be a fun, cool little toy. Boom, here you go. Enjoy it for 20, 30 years.
Right.
And I did.
And I sure did indeed.
I sure did. And it feels like when it makes it to you, you're like, okay, my parents had this and they gave it to me. And now I'm giving it to my kids. So it would be really cool wouldn't it be amazing? It feels like you're in heirloom territory.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You're like, this is an old wooden toy.
Yeah.
And it was passed down from here to here and I'm giving, and it's gone. Okay, never mind. Forget it.
That's
it wasn't that important actually.
That's it.
And then it breaks and you're like, well, we had an opportunity, kids. You don't understand what you're, you know, so it's fine. You're not going to remember it.
I wonder how many things though, like will ultimately survive. And then someday when your boys have their podcast together, they're going to be like, can you believe it? Like,
oh, I know.
You know, like,
and I'm saying this, there's probably objects that were exactly like this that mom and dad were like, I can't believe they broke it. You know?
Oh, I mean, the thing that immediately comes to mind for me with dad is tools.
Yeah.
Well, tools and camping gear as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Camping gear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We were unkind to the camping gear.
Unkind indeed.
Yes.
You would almost think, despite how much we loved it, that we hated it, how unkind to it we were.
We would just abandon it. We would swear up and down that we were going to go get it later.
The big thing that we would do, and the bad one, was we would go camping on the weekends.
Yeah.
And oftentimes we'd be having so much fun and we would have brought like just a comical amount of soda with us. Like, mm-hmm. And that's not me like joking, like air quotes, like we brought soda with us. Like we brought soda with us.
Yeah.
You know, like 56 of them.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
For like four people.
Yeah, for one night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where like, we're, you know, probably like 8 would have done.
Yeah. Would have been fine. Maybe just like,
even 4 would have done.
A 2-liter and a couple cups, yeah. You know, like probably.
Boy, when you say it like that.
And what were we thinking?
I don't know. I think we were in our brain because like for like cross country and track, like we didn't even drink soda.
Yeah.
You know? And I think for us, this was like, oh, we are cutting loose.
Yeah,
we are bringing an excessive amount.
Yep. This is
about to get wild to the tune of maybe 3 sodas.
The problem I think would be then we would get up there and we would be pounding some soda pop. And I think then we were all just like awake.
Awake.
Because it's like, you know, it's 10 o'clock at night and you're sitting around the fire and you're just being silly and all sorts of stuff.
When you say it's 10 o'clock, that's when we were getting there.
Oh, usually. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this wasn't like, you guys want to go camping this weekend? Great. Let's meet at like Saturday morning and go set up camp in the, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes I think we're giving ourselves too much credit by saying we were going camping. What we were doing was sleeping outside.
Sometimes.
Like, yeah.
No, Ben, what we were doing was setting up tents outside.
Yeah. And then at like 3 o'clock in the morning, we'd be like, does anybody want to go to Waffle House? And it would be like, yeah, we do. Let's
absolutely
go drink more soda.
Yeah. Or coffee or whatever. Probably not coffee.
Maybe not coffee at the Waff. I don't know. It's hard to. But then most of the time, then you would go, and I think we would slowly fizzle out at the Waff, at which point it was like, should we just go and like sleep on the couches in someone's basement? Like, that'd be more comfortable than going all the way back up the mountain, right?
And well, it's because like, that's the problem is where we would go would be like, it'd be very near where our actual house was.
Yes. You could actually see our house, but like you couldn't walk to it.
You couldn't walk to it. Yeah, you absolutely couldn't. You had to like first walk down a trail to the parkway and then do like a U-turn and go up this insanely steep hill.
Insanely.
In it, like to get up to this like camping spot where you could look down and see our house. And it was very nearby, which was maybe to our disadvantage because it meant we were like very close by to the cars. And we were close enough that it was very easy to convince yourself that tomorrow morning, I'll just go get the tent, you know?
Right.
Like if it was like, no, guys, we can't like leave the tent over at the campgrounds. We can't leave the tent up at Dragon's Tooth, you know? We gotta, but like if it was one of those places, we'd have to go back because we couldn't convince ourselves that the next day, like, oh yeah, we'll wake up tomorrow and come all the way back
and be responsible. Yeah.
But if it's just up here, if it's within literal like visual eyesight of the house, like no problem.
Yeah.
Right. But at the same time, it was up such a steep hill. Coming down when you're going to the Waffle House, that was great. No big deal. You hop in the Jeep, the Jep, you go to the Waff, you have a blast, and then you come back and you're like, you know what I don't want to do right now is stumble up that hill in the dark to go sleep on the ground.
Yeah.
When I could just go get the tent in the morning when I'm feeling refreshed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We didn't do that.
We didn't do that. But then here's the other problem is that often we would, again, we'd be setting up the tent at 10 at night. We'd be getting there to start camping at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
And best of intentions, we're like, do you want to put the stakes in the ground?
Nah.
And the answer was no, because why would you need to put the stakes in there? We're literally going to be standing right next to the tent the whole night. It's got our stuff in it.
Like We will be in it.
The wind cannot move the tent in a way that will be problematic in the next 12 hours because we will physically be here and we didn't bring a hammer anyway. So, you know, what am I going to go out of my way to find some useful heavy rock and nail all the stakes into the tent when I absolutely don't need to? Of course not. So we wouldn't put stakes in the ground. Then we would stay up late, abandon the tents to go to the Waffle House, and then abandon the plan to go back to the tents because, okay, it's such a big hill. And I cannot oversell the size and steepness of the hill. Like, it was big.
It was huge. Yeah. It was huge. Like, yeah, it's not like just like a, like, it's like, oh, just suck it up. It's like, it's miserable
it was.
To climb.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's very rooty and rocky and
yeah,
the worst. But yeah, so that was our version of what you're describing with the small wooden ladder.
Exactly.
Except with like six tents.
Yeah. Yes. Except that, yeah, on more than one occasion, as you can, I'm sure guess, we did not return the following morning to get to the tent. And it would be like, you know what? It's fine, because where's it going to go? It's not going anywhere. We'll just go get it when I feel like getting it.
Yeah, after school one night.
After school tomorrow, right? I'm tired. I was up till 3 last night. I'm going to get the tent right now. It's like a chore. Put it back in the bag? Are you kidding me?
It won't
Tents
fit.
Don't even fit in bags. Until like next weekend, where dad would be like, did you guys leave? Have you guys gotten the tent yet? And to be like, fine, dad. And you go up there and the tent would be gone. And like, you'd be like, man.
To be fair, I guess we only lost dad's tent once.
then we would just make the poor financial decision of being like, I guess we'll just go buy another tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, you know, and it doesn't have to be a big tent. You know, we're barely going to be sleeping. You know? Not gonna be in there. Not gonna be a lot. And then because it's always your reasoning in the moment. Like, guys, we don't need to get like a super nice tent. We just have to get one that is sort of big enough for all of us to fit in there because to fall asleep for the few hours that we'll be asleep. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. And then we'd get up there, but it'd be like, well, that tent wasn't even very nice. It's not, I mean, whatever, you know, we'll just get it tomorrow.
Just further adding to the rationale.
Like, at no point did we ever just realize, like, we don't even need tents. We can just go up there and plan on sleeping in the basement.
Right, right. Yeah. Why don't we go hang out on the hill until we get bored and then go sleep inside?
Right. It's like, rather than saying we're going camping, what we needed to say was, you guys want to go have like a fire?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we usually wanted to do.
I think mostly what we wanted to do. So we did that a lot, and we would bring a tent and set it up and then leave it there.
Good times. Sorry, Dad.
Sorry, Dad. We had the best of intentions.
We did. Intentions.
Intentions.
That's good.
You're right. Good. But so, yeah, that ladder's gone. Yeah, that ladder toy.
Oh, darn it.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Never even got to do it for one last time.
Nope.
Which means that once upon a time, I did it for the last time and had no idea.
Exactly.
How depressing is that?
I think about that sometimes. Like, every now and then we're like, you know, me and Beth are like watch like a TV. We'll have like a show that's like kind of playing as we're like falling asleep or something.
Sure.
And it's normally a kind of show where it's like, you don't have to pay that much attention because you've seen it a few times.
Yeah.
Here and there, it's like, you know, oh, what do you want to watch when you finish Friends again? It's like, oh, we'll pick up like How I Met Your Mother or, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Something in that vein. And every time it gets to the end, you're like, is that the last time I'm going to have watched all of Friends? You know?
Oh.
And it's sort of like, it's like, probably not, but also it's quite a journey. You know, it's 10 seasons.
I know. Yeah. The same thing happens with parenting, I feel like, all the time as well, where it's like you're like moving out of diapers, and it's like, if like you don't think that the last time you change a diaper will be the last time you've changed a diaper.
Oh yeah.
And then it's just like at some point in time it will just never happen again, and you're like, oh man,
that might have been the last time.
Should I have celebrated or like done something to commemorate the occasion? I don't even remember it.
Oh, I know. Don't worry. I'm sure Addison will have her own children and you'll get to help change those diapers.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good call.
Exactly.
Good call. So someday.
So you're good.
Good.
It'll come back.
Yay. All right. It's not over.
But I do know what you mean though. Like with the kids, like, yeah, they grow up and you're like, it's okay. I'll just do it next time. And it's like, there isn't a next time because they grew up past that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like, oh yeah.
Darn it.
My bad.
Yeah.
Cool. But so anyway, my kids had $10 to spend.
And what do they buy?
At the vendor. So Nick and Nate, at first they found these like they each got one of these, like, it was like a crocheted little stuffed animal.
Okay.
But instead of being stuffed with fluff, it was stuffed with like a slime ball.
Oh
yeah, like a little ball full of slime. So like one of theirs was like a little whale, and when you squeezed it, like the ball would like emerge through the blowhole and it'd be like, you know, and it looked really funny.
Nice.
Yes. So
classic whales.
Classic. Very good. I thought it was a very funny little toy. I was like, these are going to be great. They can play with these. They won't lose the balls. The balls won't get stuck on stuff because they're contained inside of the embroidery. And this would just be like a cute toy they have for a while. And I'm sure it'll be a fun memory that they got to spend their own money on. Yay. And then Luke, he was a little more conservative. He waited around. He took the more Ben Carlin approach. Like, I don't know. Let me think about this. Let me check out all the tents.
Shop the shops. I might come back.
Smarter approach, probably. And he eventually landed on this. There was like a tent that had a bunch of like just 3D printed toys.
Okay.
And stuff on it. And he got a 3D printed like dragon, but it's like one of those that has like all the links in it. So it kind of like moves around.
It's all wiggly.
Yeah. And he was all about it. So that was good. But then we're on the drive home and everyone's enjoying their new toys, and Nate is squeezing his little embroidery thing. I think his looked like a tomato, and the ball came out and he just grabbed the ball while it was inflated and just pulled the whole thing out. And I was like, no, man, like, you got the ball out of the tomato. Great. Okay. Fun. Now, on the one hand, you might say, at least you've got the tomato toy and the ball toy now.
Naturally.
Individually.
Two toys in one.
But of course, you wanted it back inside the tomato. So I was like, all right, well, let me try and just like shove it back in there for you. And impossible.
Real?
Oh, impossible.
Yeah.
Like, I'm trying all these different methods of like squeezing it in there. And eventually, I think I've got it. And I'm like pressing down really hard. And all of a sudden, just the slime inside of the tomato just pops out. And I'm like, oh no. I've broken the ball and now like slimed the inside of the tomato at the same time.
So now no toys in
now. Instead of, we went from one really cool toy to two pretty mediocre toys to they ruined each other. Man.
Oh man.
Fortunately, at least I could then show Nick and be like, don't take the ball out.
Okay.
And Nick did not listen. At least that, so, but at least this time I had the lesson of don't try to put the ball back in.
There we go.
So now we at least have a whale and the ball. But what we've had other balls like this in the past, and what I don't like about them is that they stick to the ceiling, because what my boys love to do is throw them at the ceiling. And then guess who has to get them down? Me, the only tall person in the house, is constantly pulling the ball off the ceiling, and then I'll go and sit down, and then they'll throw it on the ceiling, and then I have to go get it again. And I'm like, I hate this.
You need one of those Life is Good t-shirts for this experience.
Yeah.
It's like a dad sitting on the couch with the ball stuck to the ceiling and the kids pointing at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Life's good. It's all fine.
Life is good. Yeah.
Yeah. So then Luke's dragon, I thought, like, at least, like, is a little bit more robust, you know, it's not going to like pop slime everywhere. But sure enough, yesterday I just found like the back link, like the chain link that was the last piece of the tail had like broken off. And I was like, oh man, even this thing broke. This is like not great. Not great. So Nate found it and he was like, can we just fix it with glue? And I was like, that's a great idea, Nate. So we got the crazy glue out and I glued it all back together. And Luke came downstairs and I'm like, Luke, great news. Nate found the piece of your tail and we like fixed it. And he was like, how did it break? Like he was completely unaware of it.
Oh, so now he's
just mad that it was broken to begin with. And I was like, well, this backfired. Here, I thought I was having a whole fun lesson where Nate was helping you out. And instead, you're just looking for the murderer.
The murderer.
Yeah.
Where's the murder weapon?
Yeah. He's like, how did it break? And I'm like, I don't know. I just found it. I fixed it. It doesn't matter anymore. Not important to him. Oh, man. So there was that. I will say, though, there was some minor silver lining that all came out of all this, which one, the fact that it all broke is still fine because it's a value and, you know, taking care of stuff you spent money on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But Luke's little dragon only cost $8, not the full 10. So he got cash back.
He
got change.
So he's got some money burning a hole in his pocket.
That it was. He was very concerned about what he was going to spend the remaining $2 on. And you're like, you could just keep it. And he's like, absolutely not. I'm going to spend this $2.
There's no way.
No way.
I don't think you know how this works, Dad.
Yeah. But let me tell you, what's really hard to find is something to spend $2 on at a festival.
Yeah.
Now, believe it or not,
basically the penny of cash.
Yeah, basically. Now, the sunflowers themselves were actually $2. And I was like, this is going to be such a great solution because we're at a sunflower festival. You can buy one of the giant sunflowers for $2. No dice. Not what he was interested in. So, alas, we did not leave the sunflower festival with any sunflowers.
Darn.
Bummer. But on the drive home is when the whole slime explosion happened.
Okay.
Right. And we needed gas. So we stop at a gas station and Luke decides, or Beth realizes that, you know what's going to be $2? Candy at the gas station. So she brings Luke inside to spend the $2. But because Nate has blown up his toy already, Luke comes up with the idea to give Nate one of his dollars so that he could replace it. And then Nate comes up with the idea that, like, well, now we're both getting something, but Nick's not getting something. You know, so Nate picks out this bag of sour Skittles and plans to share it with all three of them. So it really turned into a great sharing lesson at the end where Luke shared his remaining $2 with Nate, who bought something he could then share with Nick. So,
wow.
I know. I was very impressed with how that all went down.
So, I mean, yeah, all of the other antics aside, it actually feels like there was kind of like a nice, like warm, ooey gooey center at the end of that story.
Yeah. Yes. Or Sour Skittle Center.
Nice. I mean, honestly, even almost better than ooey gooey.
Even better. Yeah. Really good. Everyone, I mean, Sour Skittles, amazing.
Pretty tasty.
Pretty good. Tasty.
Okay. Yeah. Man. So Sunflower Festival.
Sunflower Festival.
You did it.
We did it. We also, there was one other thing we bought while we were there. Have you ever seen, like for kids, sometimes like playing cards is difficult because they don't know how to hold the hand.
Oh, yes.
A hand of cards.
Yeah. Well, I'm new to this particular concept because I think at this point in time, Addie is so small that having a hand of cards is not even something on her radar. So.
Right. Yeah. But a lot of kids, like, they can't like hold that like fanned out set of cards in their hand.
Right.
So there, you can buy like little plastic holders or whatever, but we're at one of these tents and it's just these little old ladies with their, you know, their handmade crafts and they've got handmade card holders, which I have come to learn were basically two CDs covered in fabric and then sewn together with a button in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you would just, you know, slide the cards in there. You have this nice big holder. I was like, these are going to be such great purchases because we'll be able to play games with the kids and they'll be able to hold their cards, which is always a problem. Like if I play Uno with Luke, he always has to like either put the cards down behind him and like be turning back and forth or like stacks them and we'll go like through them one at a time.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, takes forever. I was like, I can just see we're going to buy these little card holders and we're going to have kids coming over for years and they'll be like, where'd you guys get these? These are so useful. And I'll be like, oh man, we found them at the school Sunflower Festival. I was like, you know what? Everyone pick one out. We're getting these for everybody. But boy, have they not been used as card holders.
Oh,
they are
no.
just like frisbees. They are spinning tops. They are broken CDs. They are. And I'm like, guys. You're ruining all of my future memories of how much you loved having these.
You know? I had a whole thing in my head as to how this was going to go.
And be great.
And now 0% of it.
Now, yeah. So what? Now we have two left, and one is a broken Grease soundtrack CD.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you think about like gluing it back together and then seeing if it still works?
Seeing if it still works. Yeah. CDs are famously good at working after they've been tampered with at all.
Yeah, snapped in half.
Yeah, snapped in half or lightly breathed on or something.
Right.
Yeah. So now I can tell you what's going to happen is that we're going to be playing a card game and someone's not going to be able to use their card holder and that's going to be a real problem.
And now nobody's going to have it. You know what you could do is buy one new card holder off of like the old interweb and then have the issue that the other two want the new one off the internet.
This is the problem. Yeah. Having you'd think you'd be like, well, at least two of you can still use it. You'd think.
It feels like so much of your life is just the Spider-Man's pointing at each other.
Yeah.
Scene.
You? Me? Same? Yeah.
Are we the same?
Yeah. Anyway, so that was the Sunflower Festival.
It sounds like a blast.
It was a good hour.
All that was 1 hour. We almost talked about it for an hour.
I know. It was. Well, after that point, everyone was getting pretty hungry. You know, no one else was interested in the kettle corn except Luke. But like Nick and Nate both love popcorn. So I bought this giant bag of popcorn and they were like, ooh, gimme. And then they both tried it and were just like, bleh. And I was like, you guys are crazy. That's a bad take. But Luke liked it. So
Jake, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Did you have fun?
I mean, I had fun.
Let's really like break that question down a little bit more.
Okay.
Did you have fun?
If it was just me and Beth, I probably would have done more stuff that I wanted to do.
Yep.
Like take pictures with the sunflowers and stuff like that. But I had fun watching the boys decide what they would like to buy. I had fun eating my popcorn and there was a certain enjoyment out of like, just like recognizing that we'd reached the breaking point and not trying to force it.
I think that's a good kind of like, don't be stubborn in those situations. Just let it go when it needs to go.
Like we could have stayed in line for 15 minutes to get a bad hamburger and then like had an uncomfortable lunch in the sun while people complained, like in the name of, we already drove out here. But
you were willing to miss out on that?
Yeah. We recognized the situation. We've been to enough of these things where it was like, we're there. We've reached the end. And the whole point was to get the kids out to do something and they had done something. So we were there.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We ready for a good transition?
Yes.
Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Shopify. Boy, howdy, where to begin? I remember graduating college and having aspirations of becoming an entrepreneur. I was brimming with ideas. A kitchen tool that made spiral-cut hot dogs, or a phone case that uses a special retractable cables to wrap around any surface for selfies. I had no idea how to make these ideas a reality, and spoilers, I still don't. However, what I have learned through my various other endeavors is how to take products and make them available for purchases online thanks to Shopify. Shopify is an e-commerce platform that makes designing your webpage, setting up your store, and making your first sales a breeze. But the best part is that after that first sale, Shopify scales with your growth, meaning it's perfect whether you're selling tens, hundreds, or even thousands of products monthly. And I am a data person, and boy does Shopify have data. Want to know how many hot dog spiralizers you sold between May 29th and July 5th? That's peak hot dog season. Boom, data in no time. Also, the
answer is zero. I still don't know how to make a hot dog spiralizer, but if I did, I would know exactly how to sell them. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/poppop. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/poppop to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by BetterHelp. I don't know about y'all, but no matter how hard I work, I sometimes still feel like I'm just not doing enough. And life is hectic. There's just simply no doubt about it. Whether you're in school, the early stages of your career, taking a big step romantically, becoming a parent, the list goes on. Each of us has daily stressors that can add up, making it hard to feel like you've ever got time for yourself. And this is when establishing some non-negotiable self-care tactics is more vital than ever. So take the bubble bath, go for a jog, or better yet, pretend to go for a jog and just sit quietly on a park bench for a while. But I gotta tell you, for me, my self-care is therapy. In fact, here at Super Carlin Brothers, we have a no questions asked approval process for time off to take therapy appointments. It's something that we value highly, and we know it makes a difference in the lives of ourselves and our team. For me, therapy has been so vital to juggling my own busy life. While it can sometimes seem frivolous to make time for a hobby when there is so much going on, I've discovered that taking the time actually lifts my mood and makes me more effective everywhere else. And that is something I've learned in therapy. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/poppop today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/poppop. Popcorn Culture is sponsored by Fiji Water. Y'all, I have been having one heck of an amazing summer. Lake days on the boat have been some of the best of my life, and on those hot days, I love to keep Fiji Water on hand to keep my family and myself hydrated and refreshed. It really is from the islands of Fiji. Drop by drop, Fiji Water collects in a sustainable, ancient artesian aquifer 1,600 miles away from the nearest continent, protected and preserved naturally from external elements. And as the water filters through volcanic rock, it collects a unique profile of electrolytes and minerals, resulting in more than double the electrolytes as the other two top premium bottled water brands, giving Fiji Water its soft, smooth taste. And unlike some other premium bottled waters, Fiji Water's electrolytes are 100% naturally occurring, and this water even has a perfectly balanced pH of 7.7, and because I'm a complete aquarium nerd, I tested this with some of my pH test kits and can tell you, confirmed. Fiji Water really is Earth's finest water. So get stocked up on Fiji Water this summer and visit your local retailer to pick some up for your next backyard party, beach or pool day, hike, or even your home office. It's not just water, it's Fiji Water.
I got a new way to enjoy my yard.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is going to work out really well for the company that sent us the thing. Normally, when we get sponsored by things, or a lot of times when you're like on the influencer side of things,
yeah,
companies will just send you stuff. And they'll be like, they don't want to pay you money, but they just hope that the act of you having it will cause you to talk about it.
There is that.
Yeah.
That does occasionally happen.
Yeah. Which, you know, sometimes works out for them. And this time it's about to work out because we were recently sponsored by, I guess they actually did pay us money, but they also sent us the product.
Yes.
Well, welcome to a free plug, Feather Snap.
There we go.
Yeah. Anyway, we got Feather Snap bird feeders.
Yeah, we did. Which honestly are super, super neat. Like the idea of like bird watching feels like one of those like comical, mm-hmm. like almost tropey examples of something you do like in retirement. And it's like, are people actually enjoying themselves, or are they like convincing themselves that they're enjoying this experience?
Yes.
And, but I don't know if this is like our age showing, but part of me thinks like, I do kind of like looking at birds.
Here's what I like about Feather Snap so far.
Okay.
Is that it feels like bird watching, but like you're sort of cheating.
Like, okay. You know, okay.
Like you get all the benefits of bird watching without having to like sit in a chair and wait for the birds to show up.
Okay. You know? Okay. Yeah. I mean, God forbid you go out on a trail and sit on like a handmade bench out somewhere, huh?
I mean, I guess people do that. Whenever I think of bird watching, I always just imagine it's like in your backyard with binoculars or something. But probably people take it more seriously than that.
I mean, I feel like I've seen, I feel like I've been out on like nature walks before,
yeah.
Which is to say there's a trail nearby my house that we sometimes take Addison on. And occasionally you do spot people that have got like a telescoping camera lens,
yeah.
And like a not a binocular, but a monocular,
yeah.
You know, and there's yeah. kind of like, you know,
a telescope.
Well, somehow it doesn't feel like a telescope.
Okay.
Like it just feels like a single lens binocular, but by the very nature of
a telescope.
I don't know. I don't know how to tell you. I feel like there's a difference, but I feel like there is.
Okay.
And a lot of times like I will notice these people and I'm like, you guys out bird watching? And they're like, we are. And I'm like, yes.
You do it, man.
I knew it.
See, that sounds like bird photography, which seems different than bird watching.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Think probably, because that's almost more like bird watching, like just so you can have the memory of having seen the bird. Why aren't you taking pictures?
I don't know.
But probably bird photography falls under bird watching in a way that my brain won't allow because of a poor naming convention.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you think you're bird watching, you are thinking nothing but mental photographs.
Nothing but seeing the birds.
It's like, I'm going to come home and tell everybody I know that I saw a...
It's like you've got like a little scorecard, like, I saw a falcon today.
Right. That's one more for exotic bird bingo.
Exactly. Not that they're taking... It is occurring to me in the moment that like I've never thought of people doing bird watching as taking pictures of the birds.
Yeah. I mean, on some level, it feels like... I don't know because I feel like it can be documenting your finding of the bird,
yeah.
You know, like even like on forums and stuff, it'd be the type of thing where it's like, hey, there's a nest of this kind of bird, mm-hmm. on this walking trail or whatever, if you want to go and like get that one for your collection,
yeah.
But like by collection you need to be collecting
pictures,
something in the, yeah. pictures, but like it doesn't necessarily need to be like I'm trying to get on the cover of National Geographic,
right? Yeah,
you know, but maybe like, you know, that it's like proof that you saw it.
If you went out and found a cool rare bird and took a picture of it, that does sound fun.
Yeah,
it's,
yeah.
like Pokemon, but you know, sort of real life, I guess.
But sort of, yeah.
But like only birds. Like you could also, it feels like it just falls under the category of wildlife photography. But clearly, bird watchers have been like, no, this is like. That's like a different section of that thing.
Do you think bird watchers just like hate squirrels?
Yeah, they're like, they could just see a moose and be like, I couldn't even.
It's like, I'm not even
don't,
right now.
Not, okay,
don't.
Look, unless you have wings, get out of here.
Right.
But also you're a giant, so please get out of here.
Please get out of here. Yeah. Yeah.
Big
so
moose.
If you ever go, this is the pro tip for anybody. If you ever try to go bird watching with somebody and spot a moose, don't even.
Don't even bring it up.
Look away.
Don't acknowledge that moose. What a like photo hound. Goodness. Feathersnap is a bird feeder that has a camera built into it that has like a motion detector. So if a bird lands right in front of it where the bird feed is and starts eating, it'll take a picture of it and then it'll send it to the app on your phone.
Yes.
And then you don't have to be there at all. You just get to check the app and be like, whoa, there's birds.
There's birds.
And not only that, they're like up close pictures of the birds because they are like right next to it. So you don't even need like a telephoto lens or anything. It's just bam, there's a bird. Right up close, got a good picture. I didn't even have to take.
Yeah. What I do think is really neat about it was like even just yesterday, like we had the app open and you had like a cardinal actively feeding in your bird station.
Yeah.
And it was just sort of like, it was just like in there, you know?
Yeah.
Like strutting its stuff and everything. And you're, mm-hmm. like, wow, that thing is just lovely.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. So far in my backyard, all I've gotten are cardinals. Which, you know, I'm sure you guys know what cardinals are, but it's like the state bird of Virginia, so it feels like extra special.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I feel like you'd be like, well, what's the state, whatever this is? And it's like, it's great to know that, but you never see them.
Yeah.
You know, well, like, no. I'm never encountering the state fish, for example.
Why not?
You know, because I'm just, you know, I'm not underwater in the rivers that much.
Get your head out of the clouds, man.
No, Ben, in the clouds with the birds.
This is classic bird watcher mentality. Yeah,
head in the clouds only.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but it's been pretty fun so far that I just set it up in my backyard this past week. And it was one of those things where I'm like, is this going to work? You know, is the camera really going to be that good at it? Are birds really going to come? Because like I feel like I've had bird feeders in before and it's like, I don't really see the birds there that much. Like you see the seed go down, but do I ever see the birds there? And like immediately, daily, hourly birds show up.
Birds everywhere.
And I have new bird pictures.
Yeah.
And now because at first it's like you get even a single picture and you're like, oh my God, this is so cool. Look at this picture I took. And now, like, 2.5 days later, I find myself very stingy. I'm like, this is a crap one. Nope. Try again, Cardinal. You call that a pose? I don't think so. Fix your feathers.
Fix your feathers.
Yeah. Face the camera. You know, now I'm like immediately like, I'm very judgmental of all the bird pictures just 2 days in.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So now I'm like really hunting for just like a really good one or something that's not a cardinal now. Yeah.
I wonder what bird watchers think.
Yeah. What are they thinking of this? Are they like, this is so cheating. This doesn't count.
Or maybe they're like the best.
Maybe they're like, yeah, if you're like a really, maybe you should just take these, just set them in the woods and like all over the place. And then you just check in on all your feeders everywhere.
That's true. Like we've got our land and I've definitely thought about buying some game cameras just so I can like set them out there and just be like, what's walking through my woods?
What's walking through that? I know this is sort of like, I don't know if it would work at night. Like would it see, like if it saw a deer at night, I guess it would trigger, but I'm not sure how, like, what the night vision is like on the camera. Probably not very good.
It's hard to say. Hard to say. Some type of like infrared lens, maybe.
Yeah. I don't know if it can do that.
Okay. Yeah.
But either way, it's been fun so far.
Yeah.
Have you set yours up?
Mine is not set up yet. It is. It's been like one of these things where I feel like I've had every single weekend since it's arrived. I've just been like plans, and I've just been so busy. But we have done, like, Alice and I are big on like the bird watching. So like we will go out and like, you know, there is.
Have I been offending you this whole time?
Well, I mean, yes. I'm just kidding. No, but like there is a specific cardinal that I have been watching all summer.
Yeah.
And it is the most vibrant, bright red cardinal that I have ever seen in my life. And where I sit in the morning on my screen and porch and drink my coffee, it is on this like branch across the street. And every single day I'm like, oh, Allie, my cardinal's back. And it's always on the same branch.
Does he have a name?
No, he doesn't have a name.
Oh man.
What do you think it should be? I think it should be Hermit Crab.
Hermit Crab the cardinal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I like it.
I like it.
Yeah. So his name is Hermit Crab. And I see him every morning and it always thrills me to see him. But I mean, and we've also had like, you know, just like a myriad of they're called mourning doves.
Okay.
That like they like went away for a while and then they came back. And we sort of loved that as well.
Man.
Are you pulling yours up right now?
I'm pulling up my live feed so we can see if there's any cardinals there at this moment. Right now it's a black box though. Oh, here we go. Okay. No birds there at the moment, just my backyard. Okay, so that's disappointing.
What would you do if, like, while you were watching it, you saw just like a gigantic buck walk through your backyard and like scarf a tomato?
Oh my gosh, I'd be so mad. I mean, you can see my garden from this view. There's no tomatoes in it.
No tomatoes.
No, yeah, that has been abandoned. I have harvested like 2 tomatoes now this year.
Okay.
I would have had 3, except the kids got out there and were like, oh my God, one of them's red. And they picked it and then they threw it off the deck and it splattered. So I was primed to harvest 7 and now we're down to 6. So I did.
Jay, this hurts. I know. It's really sad.
It's so annoying. I was just like, I just want to eat them.
Have you had a good summer?
I mean, it's been a good summer. We went on some fun trips and stuff. I wish my gardening had worked out a little better, and I wish I had been a little uninjured for portions of it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, yes, it's been a good summer. God willing, my knees are feeling better from our initial track workout. So I'm hitting the track again today because, you know, beer mile still coming up.
It is. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No time to rest. Other than last week, when we rested the whole week.
Like, yeah. Like I think someone's been like 2 weeks even, you know, we're rested.
We're rested.
It's time to go.
Yeah. Yeah. My knees are ready to be hurt again.
Exactly. Hopefully not. Hopefully everything's just stronger now. And so when we return, it's no problem.
No problem at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's most likely what's going to happen.
That's my plan.
So is that the next big thing on your horizon, Beer Mile?
The Beer Mile. Well, the next big thing is probably the podcast tour for Through the Gryffindor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty big one.
Okay, so you would mark that as a higher caliber task on your horizon than the Beer Mile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just barely.
Okay, I mean, they're right
just
up
barely.
There. Just barely. That. I mean, what I'm really trying to get at is just how seriously we're taking this Beer Mile.
I mean, I want to win, you know?
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
And you'll take nothing less.
I mean, it just, you know, if if, like, you know, the Virginia Tech track team shows up, I'm not going to feel bad losing or something, okay. You know, like if True Blue mid training competition shows up and just thrashes us, that would be acceptable. But if just other 30-year-old dudes show up and beat us, I'm going to be upset.
Oh, man.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So pressure is on.
I mean, a little bit, yeah. But obviously, we're taking it seriously.
We are taking it seriously.
Yeah.
I think we got it. I hope so. We're going to be totally fine.
Totally.
Yeah. I think some people are coming.
I think some people, if you're a Popcorn Culture listener and you're like, man, I wanted to see the guys at GoFest this year. Well, good news. You can come to the beer mile and watch.
We're going to be putting on the most sensational and unlikely 6-minute performance of our lives.
It is going to be fantastic. And the good news is I know there are other little kernels already coming and making plans with each other. So it will be, you can have fun for more than those 6 minutes too. Hanging out with those people.
Yeah, yes. Yes. Cause GoFest itself, quite fun.
Quite fun. Quite fun. That's the thing. The rest of the event is also just worth coming to.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can make a weekend out of it. And if you see us, I will come say hi and, you know, like we'll take pictures with you and all that and stuff.
Slap five.
Don't be worried about coming up and saying hi. We'll be totally fine.
We'll be totally fine
with it. It's cool because we'll be there. I'm usually, you know, prior to working GoFest, I was just at GoFest for 3 days.
Yeah, sun up plus
every year. Yes, yeah, yeah. Just get there. This is what I'm doing today because there's lots to do.
Yeah, Jay will probably, you know, if you're having trouble knowing if it's Jay, he'll be the guy holding the popcorn bag.
Giant bag of popcorn.
Giant pack of popcorn.
Yeah.
And he will only be looking up.
Exactly.
At the birds.
At the birds.
And paying zero attention to any mooses and or land squirrels and or
I'm pretty unimpressed with squirrels at this point, you know.
Okay, yeah, they're out. Bunnies.
Yeah. Oh, squirrels are definitely better than bunnies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What other wildlife do we have? Badgers.
We got, there's like groundhogs and stuff. There's skunks.
Skunks. We do have skunks galore.
Yeah. Yeah. Not impressed with them either. I'm being honest. I smell real bad.
Jay, you were high on life today. Things. I will be curious for Popcorn Recultures recap of today's episode.
Really,
like, Jay, can you see the sparks coming out of your ears?
Woo, boy, you know, we're just getting angry at wildlife. except for the Cardinals. I'm so curious how many Cardinals are visiting my feeder.
You want to know, like, unique?
Yeah, like how many unique Cardinals have I netted? Because, like, in my mind, and like, there's like infinite Cardinals out there, but like the ones in my yard, it could, like, it wouldn't surprise me if there was like I don't know what I think is the likely amount, you know? Is it like 3 or is it like 20?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. Cause I also have no idea or to like what extent territory is involved.
Yeah.
Or how much territory could become involved.
Yeah.
Because I've been seeing hermit crab in the same branch.
Yeah.
The whole summer.
Whole summer. You know it's him.
I know it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no way it could be like multiple cardinals.
Yeah.
You know, I know my bird.
You know that bird. I would say so far there's at least 3 distinct male cardinals, and I can't tell the females apart as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's always, I mean, nothing against female cardinals, but it's way less exciting when it's one of them. Cause they're just like, they're just like brown. they're just a bird. Male cardinals are like bright and red. And you're like, whoa, that looks almost tropical or something.
Almost tropical.
Almost tropical. Yeah. But I did catalog each of them in my bird book in the app. So we're good.
Did you?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've only got 2 species of birds to work with. So one of these days I'm going to get in there and it's going to be something else and it's going to be great.
I'm surprised, yeah, that you haven't had anything else.
I'm surprised too, because I've seen other birds back there. There's not like, I mean, I can hear the crows. They're out there. I've seen the hummingbirds sometimes. Yeah. But I mean, hummingbirds don't come to regular bird feeders. You need like a special thing for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or petunias. Because sometimes I would be like sitting under my petunias and all of a sudden it would sound like the world's largest bumblebee was behind me. And I'd be like, what is that? And I'd be like, oh, it's a bird.
Oh, it's a bird. Yeah. Hummingbirds are awesome.
They are awesome.
I feel like a hummingbird would be a very cool Patronus.
Oh, man, that'd be a great one.
Yeah. You know, it's like you cast a spell and out comes this like tiny little fluttering bird.
Yeah.
Small but mighty.
Small but mighty. Indeed. Yes. That'd be pretty good. That'd be a good one. Hummingbird. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think that'd be my Patronus, though.
You don't think so?
No, I don't think so. That's not me. Yeah.
What do you think would be your Patronus?
What do you think would be my Patronus?
A tomato plant.
Yeah, it's just it's a plant.
It's a plant. Expecto Patronum. And it just goes like...
My one of the Potterboard quiz is like a Scottish Terrier, which I'm always like, no, thanks. This is wrong. I did it wrong. This is not what my Patronus would be. I've never even owned a Scottish Terrier. Like, at least be a kind of dog I've had.
If it makes you feel any better, out of all the horses I haven't owned, I've definitely never owned a Thestral.
Yeah, but that, I mean, there'd be nothing. Yeah, that's a great one to get because it's a magical beast.
It is really cool.
Yeah, so there's that.
Do you have something that you feel like is more correct?
More correct to what my Patronus would be? Like, what's my spirit animal?
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Is there what do you think it would be?
Let's think. What would you
It might be like a horse, I guess.
A horse.
Just a kind of horse.
Noble steed.
A steed, as it were. Yeah, I could see that. I could be a horse. I'd be happy with that.
Like a Mustang.
I could see
it being a Mustang, like a wild horse.
Oh, yes, wild horse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be good. That's what I call him, too. I'd be like, what's up, wild horse?
That would be the name for your Patronus?
That'd be his name. W-Y-L-D.
Wild
horse.
Oh boy, man! Yeah. This may be the most unhinged episode of Popcorn Culture we've ever had.
You think this is an unhinged episode?
I'll be curious to hear. Okay. I'll be curious to hear. I think it could be up there. It could be up there. It's been a good one. Any feedback that you guys have about the show, be sure to send it on over to popcornculturepod@gmail.com. Or if you want to get in on that puff paint pop pop forest green crew neck sweater.
Oh, it's going to look good.
There's so many modifiers to this one, but I'm so excited. Actually, all day today, you're wearing this like Star Wars spirit jersey with the puff paint on it.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I just keep looking at it. I'm like, I cannot wait to get my hands on these pop pop sweaters. I think they're going to be so cool. You can sign up for those at patreon.com/popcornculture. But otherwise, guys, until next time.
Pop pop.
Today's episode was edited by Isabel Chrisley. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Through the Griffin Tour is back, and this time we are heading to the West Coast. Join Jay and I as we record brand new episodes of the show live in person with you guys, plus a special in-person Jay versus Ben with questions asked by... This September, we will be heading to Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Berkeley, San Diego, and Los Angeles. Seattle and San Diego were both sold out, but we've just added matinee shows to both locations, so if you missed out on the first pass, or if you want to join us for a doubleheader, we will have two unique shows in the same day. For us, there is nothing more fun than getting to nerd out Harry Potter style with each and every one of you, and we will also have exclusive Through the Gryffindor merch and a VIP meet and greet available for every show. We hope to see you all there. Ticket links can be found in the show notes or at supercarlinbrothers.com.